welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
I'm really upset that you put me on the red side of this new graphic because it makes me feel like I need to be the conservative side of this podcast.
You do.
That we have here.
Well, I mean, then nothing has changed, has it really? Brad, obviously the hardcore conservative on here.
Super hardcore conservative. Like I said, let's get rid of federal income tax, but also go to war with every country on the planet and prove our dominance.
Brad, known back the bluer and Jan 6th apologist. He was like, why wasn't it January 5th and 7th? Like, wow, that's a really personal stakes you're putting up there, Brad. yes, this is our new framed-in, very professional-looking setup. So it may change from time to time as I get better at this, but this is where we are right now. All right, so let's jump right into it, aesthetics aside. So first off, big story that just kind of devolved over the week. Just really interesting. Like,
I love this story. I love this story because it is the first and only time I think that we've ever all collectively come together and supported an initiative that Donald Trump is bringing forward to the masses.
Finally. in a new statement that he would have posted on Twitter himself if the account was not permanently suspended for inciting violence. This is, of course, written by the Daily Beast.
Say to put on his blog.
That no one reads. Trump declared, quote, if we don't solve the presidential election fraud of 2020, which has been thoroughly and conclusively documented, interesting, Republicans will not be voting in 22 or 24. It's the single most important thing for Republicans to do. So basically he pushed out this idea that, dear Republican Party, like actual politicians, you need to kowtow to me and make sure that you go along with the big lie, or I will tell Republican voters, my sheep, to not vote in the midterm election and in 2024, which is the time that he would run, which would be really weird.
Very much so.
But okay. So he's taking the Lynn Wood approach to politics, which, if people remember, shot the Republican Party in the foot during the last election, causing them to lose the Senate. I've already seen Republicans, these are the more like crazy QAnon folks, have already been like, we're not voting. They're right, man. We're not voting. I feel like that's going to spread throughout the party pretty heavily. Don't come back, please. Now, there's obviously issues with this, right? Like some serious issues, which is will the GOP follow suit and say, okay, we will kowtow, we will push the big lie, we will do all this bullshit, because they obviously don't want voters to not vote in the midterms and in 2024. Or will they tell Trump to go pound sand? My guess is the former, not the latter, which is a problem because now you're going to have even more mainstream Republicans buying into this horseshit.
Yeah, but here's the problem. Here's the problem, though, is that so on the local level and on the state level, you can run like sham investigations into this thing.
Right.
But Republicans don't control any levers of government right now in the elected body on the federal level. So like they don't have agenda making power. Like they can sit there and be like, we want to investigate this. And Democrats will be like,
nah.
No.
I'm good.
I think not.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see what the Republican Party actually does here. Like, I don't have any faith that they won't just go full bore into like the horseshit. Like, I really do think they will. My question is, what is his end game? Right. Like, obviously, it's to get the party to kowtow. Right. Like, that's the obvious part. But he always is running sort of a less obvious, even dumber move. Like, that's kind of his thing. And I can't help but think that if he is surrounded by people who think that he should be reinstated as president.
Right.
If he doesn't get that or like a real concerted effort, that he still won't call their bluff and just be like, you know what, fuck it, don't vote. Because I think he's even willing to blow shit up for 2022, like for real, so that they will kowtow for 2024. But the problem is, if you blow shit up for 2022, you might make it so bad that Democrats are in a better position going into 2024. So,
well, that's what I'm saying. Like you might inadvertently hand them the ability to actually run their agenda, which would be incredibly popular, like once things actually start getting implemented. And then people will be like, why would we vote for you guys again? Like, look at all the cool things that are happening.
Right. And that's what I'm wondering, right? Like, you never, you know, you never interrupt a guy, you never interrupt an enemy destroying themselves, right? Like, that's, you know, the Democrats are like, no, please don't, you know. But I do wonder, how far does that power dynamic go? Like, does it really push that far that the Republican Party is like, we're not going to do that? Or they just don't do enough because his ask is too insane, right? I don't know.
Honestly, I don't think this changes a lot. Like, the fucking nutters that have been on about this stuff are just going to be more on about it. And the quote unquote normal Republicans who are, you know, who haven't really given this much thought Mitt Romney. That's it.
This is not a long list.
Yeah. I don't think this really changes a whole lot. And plus, like, we're counting on Trump to like follow through on something, which he never does. So like that, like he's just talking big in this situation. I don't really think it's going to lead to much. I think it's funny. Like, I think it's hilarious, especially given
super funny
recent history of, like you mentioned, like the Georgia Senate race where they're like, don't vote, it's bullshit. And Democrats are like, thanks for the two Senate seats. Like, you could have easily won these, but all
right. Right. Like, it was a really hard fought thing that the Democrats won both seats. Like, they might have pulled one off, but like the chance of them pulling off two was crazy high. But they've got a lunatic like Lynn Wood who was promoting that shit, and now you've got your biggest gun promoting this.
Trump kind of promoted that before, like during while he was president. He just like, I don't know if you should even bother with this shit. And I'm just like, all right, dude.
Like,
it's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it works out for him.
It turns out it did for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you are dumb.
No, but that's, so, I mean, like, yeah. I said, it's completely idiotic to actually go suggest that your constituents don't vote. This is some like fucking Rose Twitter shit. Just proving once again that the horseshoe is a thing that fucking exists. So
it absolutely is. And like this idea, which, by the way, boy, are we going to talk about that later. You guys ready to test a theory that you had? Okay, Rose Twitter, go right ahead. You're about to have one. Let's see how that works out. It's not going to, but just put AOC anywhere. She'll work. Okay. Idiots. But like, I know there's been a lot of like, this is go time for the Republican Party, like, you know, shit or get off the pot kind of thing. But they really are going to have to figure out, are you just going to be this guy's bitch until he dies? Or at some point do you go, nah, fuck this guy? And I feel like there's just not enough people in the Senate for Republicans that are willing to do that. I think they're still terrified of this guy.
But their actual, so the problem though, their actual problem, like the problem that this kind of lives at the core of, like, this is more of the symptomatic of a symptom of the real problem that's in the party, is that they don't have a policy agenda that they can run on. So the only thing that they can run on is this bullshit. Like, they can't run on, you know, cutting taxes, and they can't run on like actual like things that they want to do. So all they have to run on is scams and grievance and, you know, the same bullshit that Trump basically ran on for 4 years in office once he got his tax cuts, and that's it.
Right.
that's about all he accomplished.
We're out of ideas, guys. Like, we got them all. Yeah. What'd you do? Lower taxes for rich people? Yep. All right. Well, we're done here.
Yeah. Like, lower taxes for rich people, got rid of the individual mandate, and that's it. And yelled about a wall. We built a wall. No, you fixed some fence. No, we built a wall. No, you repaired some fence. Yeah, that's what you did.
Where's the wall? Mexicans took it. Like, I don't know. It's not.
No, but that's their actual problem. Is again, they've gone so far to being a party of rhetoric that they don't have ideas anymore. So like you have nothing to pivot to away from this. Like you have to just kind of live around this space. And the only ideas they have is to be anti-Democrat. Like that, what do the Democrats want to do? We want to do the opposite. Like that's right. Literally, I mean, that's all they are.
That's why that's why, you know, people are, oh, they're so mad. Like, I understand the argument. I think it's a silly one, but I understand where it comes from. It's a fundamental mm-hmm. misunderstanding of what is happening in this country. When people are like, the Democrats want the Republicans to win. I'm like, one, no, they don't. Okay. No, they don't. They hate, trust me. Democrats in Congress hate the fact that Republicans get into office, wreck everything, and then they're responsible for fixing everything, which cuts away from their chance of actually doing anything new, right? They hate that shit. They don't enjoy – who the hell enjoys like making something, letting a kid smash it to smithereens, and then rebuilding it? Like no one enjoys that. Yeah, that's dumb.
Yeah. Like it reminds me of – so like my son really likes – demolishing things that I build with him. So like he likes to build stuff like Legos and knock it over. Yeah. So like we'd build like, you know, is like when he was younger, we'd build like his Mega Blocks up and I'd help build a really cool tower. Then as soon as he saw, oh shit, there's a tower up, he'd just come over and knock it down. Like that's literally what Republicans are when they get power.
Yeah. Cause one, they're fucking children, right? Like they basically are just children in their dad's suits, showing up to work every day. But like because of that, like that idea of not having actual policies, right? Like Democrats don't actually enjoy that, right? Like I see people say that, oh, the Democrats want them to win. They don't. The problem is this nation is full of people with the memory of an ant, which is ridiculous, or like a gnat, I guess, which is a problem. The other thing is you do have a lot of Democrats who they don't want Republicans to win, but they're not as progressive. They're nowhere near as progressive as we need them to be. Nowhere near. And I'm not even talking about like being as progressive as like your AOCs or the squad. I mean like being as progressive as like Kamala Harris, right?
More on that to come.
Yes, right? Like, so it's like you don't even have people who are that progressive. So like the thing is Republicans love the fact that Democrats get back in power. Right after they do their tax cuts and fuck the economy up and start wars and everything else, they're not that upset that Democrats get in power because they know that the American public will blame Democrats the second they forget that Democrats haven't been in power for more than 9 minutes. They get blamed. Democrats try to fix everything. They undercut all of the shit. They get to run against it for 4 to 8 years. They love that shit because they don't have, like you said, they don't have actual policies. So when people say that Democrats actually enjoy losing to Republicans, it's actually the opposite. Like Republicans, Republican voters don't like losing, of course. No voters want their opponent to win, right? Like that's not a thing. But I'm not sure Republican politicians get that mad. Like, you think Fox News is mad that there's a Democratic president? Fuck no. They don't have to eat dick for 4 to 8 years, dude. They get to go in the opposition. They hated that shit.
Yet they still do.
Yeah, I know. Look, the media still is like, well, I don't know. This is like boring guy as president. Isn't that interesting? We miss the old guy. Like, the old guy almost got you killed. Like, but it's like an abusive relationship. But yeah, Fox News does better as the opposition. Like they don't do nearly as well as just repeating the talking points in the White House.
It's why they still portray themselves as the opposition, even when Republicans were in power. Like
right. It's because that is who they are. Right. They are fundamentally that's who they are. Like there was a book maybe about a year ago or so it came out. Actually, it was before the end of the before the pandemic. So maybe 2 years. About how the Republican Party basically got largely rid of their policy writers, like in Congress. They largely got rid of their policy writers, one, because they could just go to Alec, right, who writes a lot of their policies. But they got rid of them for Alec people and replaced most of their people with marketing people. Because they were just marketing these ideas of lower taxes, marketing these ideas of being in the opposition, because that was more important to how they sounded than what they were actually talking about. They fundamentally are not policy. They're not a policy party anymore. And it is doing nothing but damage overall to democracy. But the fact that no one really acknowledges, like, y'all don't really have any fucking policies, is a problem. What did Trump run on against Biden? Name a policy, dude. Name one.
Yeah. You can't. I mean, you literally you cannot.
Their platform was what that guy is doing. Like, remember that? Like, what's the new platform for 2020? And they were like, whatever Trump's platform was in 2016. That's literally what the Republican Party said.
And Trump's platform wasn't like, here's what I'm going to do if you reelect me. It's this guy's going to ruin it if you elect him. Like that was literally his stance, essentially.
Right. And so, I know people were like, insane. That's what the Democrats are doing. But Biden had policies, dude. Like, a lot of them. Like, a ton of fucking policies. Actual, like, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, which they're still fighting to get put in place, right? More on that later. But, like, to say that they want to lose or they don't have policies is exactly the opposite. It's actually the great thing about the Republican Party right now is they have convinced people to believe that, like, they don't exist, right? It's like the devil's greatest trick. It's like, it's not us who doesn't believe in policies. It's the Democrats. And people are like, well, I guess it's the Democrats. Like, no, it's not. It's not. They can't get the shit through, or they have people who are not as progressive as we want them to be. Those are fair criticisms. But they do have
policies. It also goes back to what we talked about with the media last week, is that the stance of we don't have ideas has somehow become acceptable as an opposing idea, essentially. Right. Republicans don't have ideas, and media's like, this is fine. Like, they're like, oh, the Republicans just oppose the Democrats, and this is a rational and correct position for a political party to have. And I'm like, it really isn't, though.
Right.
If you're just there to be obstructionists, that's then all they're there don't for. Be there.
Yeah. Why are you even there? They're just like, the moon's made of cheese. Yeah, but we went to the moon. Yeah, it's made of cheese. But we went there. It's dirt and rocks. They're like, yeah, but cheese. And they, like, cut to CNN. Both sides say the moon's made of different things. That's the headline? What the fuck? Like, yeah. So it's maddening, but this is very true. This is absolutely accurate.
But again, like I said, I wholly endorse the Trump strategy of Republicans fucking staying home. And that pains me to say, because you know me, I'm the guy that wants to make voting as easy as fucking possible, because I firmly believe that Democrats would win on their ideas if everyone had an equal playing field to vote on. I don't really want that at this point anymore, because if you're too stupid to continue to blindly follow the Republican Party falling down the cliff as they are right now, then you probably shouldn't be voting at this point.
Is it that you support a marketplace of ideas, Brad?
Sure.
That's a Nazi term. Look, he's got the red. He's got the red next to him for a reason. You know who else supports a marketplace of ideas, Brad? What's that idiot? What's the guy who didn't know what Occam's razor was this week?
I thought you were about to transition to the next story. I'm like, wait, I was like, that seems awful slanderous. Talking about Colin Powell.
No, it was
Dave Rubin.
Does not know
what Occam's razor is. Yeah, he thinks it's Murphy's law.
Yeah,
yeah.
That guy is big dumb. Like, he's big dumb.
He's very stupid. Marketplace of ideas, guys. This is a marketplace of ideas.
Yeah, I don't like that guy. I don't like Dave Rubin. Not a fan. He tried to make the switch to being a right wing asshole for money, and it was obvious. And you're a pathetic fucking loser, dude. Like, you really are. It's kind of sad. All right. Here's a person who's not a pathetic loser, but you have a right to give him a little bit of the business. I will preface the story by saying that. Colin Powell, first black U.S. Secretary of State, dies from COVID while battling cancer. That's an important...
And battling being 84 as well.
Yes, and also being 84. Years old. pretty important little factoids to add at the end of that headline. Brad, now you are on the red side of the screen. Justify why it was okay for the deep state to kill Colin Powell before he could expose Comet Pizza.
I just can't believe that Trump didn't do it while he was in office. Why he didn't use his power to murder Colin Powell? Colin Powell's very Powell. Colin Powell is possibly the best example of how far into simplicity and idiocracy our discourse has gone. And I don't just mean on the Republican side of the ledger. I mean it on
completely
far left extremes as well. Yeah. So, but yeah, Lacid. So Colin Powell is a figure deserving of nuance. But again, you have people on the far left that are just like, oh, he was fucking terrible because he got us into Iraq. Not at all what happened, actually. Like he was very vehemently against going to Iraq, but did his duty as what he thought his duty was once the decision had been made by his boss, essentially. And
right,
and
he was also lied to. He was also lied to, right?
Like also very much the case.
Kind of a big deal, guys. Like you can't just ignore that, right? Like I'm going to discuss Colin Powell, and especially when it comes to the run up to the Iraq War, because I think it's important. Mm-hmm. And I think it is part of his legacy, and he does have to live with that, right? But I do think, again, like you said, it deserves a bit of nuance. You can't just pretend certain things aren't true because they don't fit a narrative. But also, then I'm going to tell my favorite Colin Powell story. So Colin Powell, like, look, he was clearly lied to. We know this, right? This is a part of American history at this point. He was lied to about these weapons of mass destruction. He went up in front of United Nations and held out the fucking like, oh, here's the fucking shit. Like, you know, here's, you know, weapons of mass destruction. This uranium, and like he was made a fool of, basically, right? Mm-hmm. They knew that this guy, there was a reason they used him. He was above credit, like his credibility was so fucking high, it was above reproach. Like, yo, Colin Powell said this. Oh shit, this must be real. And by the way,
true. They knew they couldn't. Sorry to interrupt you. They knew they couldn't roll up to the UN with fucking Donald Rumsfeld, like talking about this shit.
The guy who put Splenda in our coffee, that guy's putting fucking holes in our brains. Knock it off. By the way, it does. And he is responsible for that. A lot of people don't know that. Like Donald Rumsfeld is responsible for getting Splenda on the market, or aspartame on the market. But like he was above reproach. Right. And that's not just a right wing thing. Right. Not Republicans were like, oh, we love Colin Powell. Fucking yeah. Like everyone respected him, dude. You didn't have to you didn't have to agree with like the militarization of the United States, which is a huge deal. You didn't have to agree on whether we should have gone to the Gulf War or whether or not, like, you know, what we're doing is the strategy going to be right or whatever. None of that is relevant to that particular part of the conversation, which is, if Colin Powell said it, people were like, oh shit, this guy is on the level, because he always was on the level. One of my biggest regrets is that he didn't leave the Republican Party early enough and run for president. Mm-hmm. He could have won. Like Colin, that's how, by the way, people forget that. I know a lot of young people, you just started looking at politics 9 minutes ago, and I get it. Like, you're young. You're in a dork like me listening to C-SPAN when you were like a kid. Well, maybe you were, I don't know. You two are not getting laid, but, you know, Colin Powell was seen as, this guy is going to be the first black president. Like, it was like, people are like, yeah, no, that will, if he runs, he will definitely, one, he will get black people to vote for him because they respect him, right? They do. Like, black people respected the shit out of Colin Powell. They absolutely did, to the day he died. So you could, as a Republican, he could peel off Democrats, like a lot of them. And again, he was a genuine dude. And Republicans would have supported him because he would have run as a Republican, most likely, and he would have fucking won. It would have been a fucking cakewalk. Anybody on the Democratic side having to run against Colin Powell for president, it would have been like, dude, I don't really want to do this. Like, I'm going to get my ass handed to me, right? So he could have, but he even saw, by the way, just as a side note of the dangers of America, even he saw it as a danger as a black man to run for president.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Republican. Like, even him as a conservative was like, this don't feel like a good idea. So he was seen as universally a respected guy. The issue here is once he was lied to, he was like, oh, this is what's happening? I'm fucking done. Right? And he was done with the Republican Party. He was done with that bullshit. He left that administration and it was over. Right? He was like, he came out hard. He came out fucking hard for Barack Obama in 2008. You know, he was just like, look, this is the guy. Right? Like, I'm done with the Republican Party. No bullshit. This guy is like, he's serious. This is a serious young man. He's not fucking around. I think he'd be right for the country. That's a big fucking deal. For some Republicans who really supported Colin Powell's career and stuff like that, who saw that and was like, all right, okay. Again, his stamp on it is kind of a big stamp of approval, right? He was a big fucking deal. You cannot pretend that all of those things aren't true. And we also cannot pretend that he was instrumental in getting Americans on board for the Iraq War. Now, was he lied to and why he did that? Absolutely. He wasn't told the truth, right? Cheney knew he was telling this guy, filling this guy's head with a bunch of bullshit. He didn't see through it. That's his fault. I mean, you go with the intel that you have, right? You go to war with the team you got. So I think people on the left who are like lambasting this guy as like some like massive war criminal, I think is like, I understand why you believe that, but I think it's kind of bullshit. Like, I think it's a little bit of bullshit because I feel like you're purposely ignoring or forgetting a thing that is kind of instrumental in that, which is he was lied to, right? You want to get on Rumsfeld, Bush, Cheney, all of those guys, you know, Wolfowitz and all those guys. Go to town. Those guys knew. Like, those guys knew they were lying to the United Nations and to the world community at large and to the American public when they were saying the shit that they were saying. Like, it's inarguable. For people on the right who are like, he was a perfect person and never did anything wrong and, like, all that other shit, that's bullshit. And to Donald Trump, who, like, randomly was like, yeah, fuck Colin Powell, he fucked up the Iraq War. Dude, you weren't even paying attention. And also, you supported the war before you did. Like, knock it off.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, so, like, I don't understand why people are like, oh, Donald Trump didn't support the war. Yes, he fucking did. He absolutely supported it. Until it was unpopular.
There's literally recordings of it. Like, he went on fucking Stern all the time back then. Like, you could hear him talking about this shit.
Yeah, like, but again, people don't follow up. So here's, I say all that to say, here's my favorite Colin Powell story. I once saw Colin Powell speak at a speaker series, right? It was speaker series with a bunch of like left-wing people, right-wing people, same speaker series. I saw Peggy Noonan. I wanted to shoot myself in the fucking head. It was awful. It was awful. She fucking sucks. I've never seen someone.
Why did you subject yourself to Peggy Noonan?
It was a part of speaker series I already paid for. But I did, but I did. Who was the guy? Who's the guy who got, kicked out, like lost the, I got to watch in that speaker series. I got to watch, which was amazing, Howard Dean debate Karl Rove. It was awesome. Howard Dean lit his ass up for 2 hours. It was amazing. It was amazing. But Rove is a very smart guy. Like he's not a dummy, but it was like,
yeah,
like dude, like you are spewing a bunch of bullshit. But it was an interesting speaker series. But I saw Powell speak at it, and Powell tells a story which I thought was really kind of an amazing kind of American story. He talked about how he grew up in New York, and he is fluent. A lot of people don't know this. He's fluent in Yiddish, or was fluent in Yiddish, which is not a common language for a young black kid from like Brooklyn to be fluent in. And he tells a story that how he learned Yiddish is he went into like a furniture store or whatever in like a predominantly Jewish part of New York at one point. And the owner taught him like a few Yiddish words, right? Because he's a black kid. Like, why would he fucking know Yiddish? He would come near there or whatever. And the owner's like, come on in for a minute. And he taught the kid, he taught Colin Powell, young Colin Powell, a couple of Yiddish words. And he would have Colin Powell go and stand near couples who are like shopping, you know, in the store to overhear what they said. So that like, if they were trying to like negotiate price, he would go, he would listen in, he would eavesdrop, go back to the owner and like, oh, they're going to, you know, offer this amount. Like, cause it was a place you could negotiate, which is like a massive stereotype, but it was. And so, so he would be like basically a spy for the owner. And like tell the owner like, oh, they're going to only offer you $1,200 for this. And the owner's like, all right, got it. Like, and so that's how he learned to be fluent in Yiddish, is he like worked in this store. He ended up working in this store and being like kind of a spy for the owner, which is kind of a cool story. Like it's a kind of a lovely story. And it was funny. I was talking to my neighbors who were Jewish. I was talking to them and I told them that story and they were like, I heard that. That's amazing. Like they were just like, that's so cool. It was like, yeah, it's just kind of a funny story. But like people really like that guy. And I don't think you should forget what, you know, who he was in his entirety, right? You know, it's the totality of a man that tells a story, right? So, again, he doesn't get a pass on the Iraq War completely because he still supported it. But you cannot forget why he supported it. And I don't think he would have supported it if they were like, yo, we're just making this shit up. Like, you're just making it up.
Well, and that's the thing, like, that gets me is that you know me if you've listened to the show for a long time. I am firmly against lionizing really any political figure just because there's everyone has warts that's associated with them. And I think that when someone passes away, that they should be evaluated warts and all. Like you have to take the totality of the man when it's there. But I think that there are certainly political figures that should be deserving of, you know, respect unobjectively from both sides based on the totality of their careers. And I think that Colin Powell would definitely fall into that camp. Like, even if you don't, you know, agree with what he did in Iraq, or even if you don't agree with some stuff he did in during his service career, like, as you know, when he was, you know, part of the Joint Chiefs and all that other stuff and his involvement in the Gulf War, that's fine. But he was also, you know, was very notable person in American history. I think the thing that was said about Colin Powell was that he was the most like accomplished person to not be the president of the United States.
Right.
Essentially. So like he could have, like you mentioned, he could have easily been president had he decided that that's something that he wanted to do. So yeah, like I said, you can criticize Colin Powell all you want. I find no fault with that, but taking some kind of myopic view on either side of the ledger, whether, like I said, you're far left and you want to just completely dismiss his entire, you know, career out of hand just because of the Iraq War, or if you're on the far right and think he did no wrong, or if you're on the extreme far right and, you know, now think he's a rhino just because he left your fucking party because he got fucking shit on by the Bush administration.
Well, and that he saw that the party was going absolutely fucking bonkers and made no sense.
Yeah, which he was right.
Yeah, he was 100% right. Yeah. Turns out. Yeah. Turns out he was able to see the giant flashing neon sign in front of his face. Also, we didn't mention this, but stop trying to use him as a reason to not get the COVID vaccine. He was 84 and he had fucking blood cancer. Shut up. Like, I hate anti-vaxxers so much.
I was so annoyed that, again, my first thought when I heard that COVID Powell passed
away. That's perfect. My
first thought when Colin Powell passed away and I found out that it was COVID related, I was like, fuck. Like,
oh, here we go.
Going to take, like, just grab on this one fucking part of the story and just fucking pound that down our throats as to why, you know, why we can't get the vaccine. And I'm shocked. I haven't seen come to the surface the take that like the COVID vaccine will actually kill you. Like Colin Powell would have been fine with his cancer and 84 years of age. Oh, had he not gotten vaccinated.
Brad, I feel like you haven't searched enough. I feel like the only reason why you haven't seen that take
is because you are
so fucking lazy to do your research. It exists, sir. It absolutely exists. And I wish it does. All right, Brad, tell people why you think that they should have a more fair and balanced look at the Holocaust.
Yeah. So
explain to the people your personal stance.
Yeah. So when Texas passed their idiot law about having to, you know, have books and teach, you know, things in schools that required multiple perspectives for controversial issues, essentially.
Right.
No one talked about, like it was so focused on, you know, the American history and critical race theory, part of things, that nobody talked about the inevitable thing that would happen from this. And then it happened and people were like, oh my God, I can't believe this happened. And I'm just like, I don't understand how you couldn't imagine this happen. So basically there was a call that was leaked to the media, where the executive director of the Carroll School District in Texas was basically trying to train teachers on books that they should have in their classroom libraries to adhere to this new law mm-hmm. that the Texas legislature passed. Because basically there was a parent who complained that a fourth grade teacher had a anti-racism book in her classroom. And so she was trying to make sure that no other teachers fell into the same trap. So she was saying, and she, this is a quote from her in talking about being, you know, following the legislation, and I'm quoting now, and make sure that if you have a book on the Holocaust, that you have one that has an opposing, that has other perspectives. And one of the teachers is like, how do you oppose the Holocaust? And she's like, believe me, that's come up.
Make sure you have a book. Like, you could just pick up Mein Kampf, I guess. Like,
well, that's what I'm saying. Like, so what is the opposing
the German struggle?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't even say that Mein Kampf would be like opposing the Holocaust. Like in Mein Kampf, like Hitler's like, yeah, like fucking.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah,
obviously.
Yeah. You know, like the opposing view would be like the Holocaust denial people. Like that's my question to her, is what is the opposing view of the Holocaust? Is it that it didn't happen? Is that the opposing view? Do you have books from right-wing nutters that talk about how the Holocaust is fake, apparently?
I mean, did it happen, Brad? I mean, who knows, right? Like, there's only millions of people who died and, you know, and had, like, tattoos and everything. Like, yeah, like those people, some of those people are still alive. Like, they're alive. Did they all come up with the same collective story? That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, I guess the only way that I can describe this is, like, we're not teaching critical race theory to children because, like, that's not a thing that's happening in schools. But this is,
right.
I think this is, in fact, Brad, critical racist theory. I think that's what this is. You're trying to teach the opposing view of the Holocaust? Like, I said, by the way, when the story came out, I immediately sent it to my neighbor who's Jewish. I was like, yo, what's going on? He was like, dude, I don't know what the fuck.
I just can't believe that.
It's like, Jesus.
I just can't believe that she latched on to like the Holocaust as the example. Like, I feel like,
because that woman is an anti-Semite. She's an anti-Semite. She's an anti-Semite. Like, look, you don't bring up like, but what about the Holocaust? You don't bring it up. Unless you're a fucking anti-Semite. The only people who think about the Holocaust not being real in front of mind are massive anti-Semites. That's it. You know how often I think about how the Holocaust is not real or like real or fake? Zero times. Zero fucking times. Because I'm not a fucking anti-Semite. Only anti-Semites are like, hey, someone's like, hey, what's the temperature today? I don't know, man, but it's probably not as cold as it was on the time where people think the Holocaust happened, but totally didn't happen. Like, okay, John. Like, why are you bringing up the Holocaust?
This would be like the equivalent is if people in the 21st century believed like the Earth was flat. Like that's like what the equivalent of this would be, essentially.
Yeah, they play in the NBA. We know them. Or let me phrase it, they used to play in the NBA. Yeah. Maybe not so much anymore. The Earth is flat. Jesus Christ. Well, as they say, the Flat Earth Society has fans all around the globe. Just say that a little slower next time. Just all around
the globe. So again, the internet continues to be both the best and worst thing that has ever happened to human society, arguably.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, you know, you and I were talking about this offline. Like, why not just like, okay, you got like Christian classes or like religious classes. I think it's time to start teaching Satanism. Right, like
I feel like you have to, like you have to get the opposing view of Christianity
of everything,
and that's Satanism.
Right. Like, why
teach the children about the ten core tenets?
I mean, they actually make a lot of sense. I feel like they shouldn't teach it.
As we discussed before.
Right. Like, I feel like they shouldn't teach it because it's, like, mad reasonable. Like, except for the one is, like, you know, use magic. And I'm like, all right, we were almost there, guys. Like, that is not weird. Like, it's even, like, don't hurt children. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy how good it is. But the thing is, why stop at education? Why don't we do laws? Like, why don't we just, like, we have one law, and then let's, like, discuss the opposing side as a legitimate other side of the law, right? Texas, they have an abortion ban. How about the other side of that? Like, if we're going to teach, we should teach that abortions are mandatory, right? Like, this is another option that we have. Everyone, every pregnancy, mandatory abortion, right? Like, because that's just as fucking ludicrous as their shit, right? So it's, to me, I don't understand. And by the way, I have to say that as a joke, because apparently some people on YouTube don't realize, like, when we're talking about the story versus, like, the joke part of the story, like, because they got mad because
our wit is too dry.
Yeah, our wit is too dry. Like, somebody actually thought that we thought that Kyle Rittenhouse was hunting, like, the story last week, that we thought that that's what the story was. I was like, no, that was the part of the story where we were joking. Because they were trying to use a hunting law as a reason. You know what? Never mind. Comedy is good. Wow. So, yeah. Like, I don't actually think that all pregnancies should end in mandatory abortions in Texas. That would make no sense. That's a joke. But, yeah, the absurdity of having an opposing view to the Holocaust is fucking crazy. And if you say that, I automatically, and I would assume correctly, you're a massive anti-Semite and you should probably be ostracized. And you definitely shouldn't be a fucking teacher, like, except for at the local Nazi school, I guess. But yeah, you shouldn't. No, if somebody says, well, you should teach an opposing view of the Holocaust, they should be fired immediately. Like, this is done.
And it's funny because I feel like that the teach the opposing view, like, edict is probably only going to go for certain topics. I get the sense that we're not going to hear a whole lot about the opposing view of, like, oh, I don't know, like the Vietnam War, for what little, like, kids hear about that anyway, or the American Revolution, or, you know, things of that nature. But I'm sure we'll hear all about it for the Civil War. I'm sure they'll talk about all about the other side of the Civil War.
Hey, Brad,
you know, no doubt.
How about this? Here's a topic that will 100, you know, speaking of the Civil War, 100% be talked about in a opposing view scenario. Slavery. Yeah, they were workers. Yeah. They were just brought over, right? They needed jobs, so we gave them jobs. We didn't pay them, and we beat them, we killed them, but they had jobs. So, you know, you're welcome, blacks. So, yeah, no, slavery, I mean, long has that been talked about in quote unquote opposing views, in Texas textbooks, right? I am always amazed that Americans who love America so much that they are so unwilling to talk about, like, the dirt of America, like the real shit. Like, why? If you love it, like, love it or leave it, man. Like, just talk about it. Look, there's a lot to love about this country. There is. There's a lot to dislike about it. Like, there is.
There's more to dislike about it.
But
there's not a country on the planet that has, that doesn't have regrettable periods of history or things that they did or incidents or things of that nature as well. That's kind of the fucking deal with politics in general, like with having leaders.
Or human society.
Yeah, right?
Like,
that too.
Just human society. Like, look at Canada right now. I go, oh, Canada is so great. They got Tim Hortons. It's a lovely place and all that shit. Yeah, they can't stop digging up Native American graves at college sites. Like, they can't. They're like, there's dead Native American kids everywhere. Like, holy shit, we really fucked up. But they're dealing with it. You have to. You can't just pretend this shit doesn't exist. You can't pretend that, like, oh, Canada was fucking perfect. Like, no. Like, it's not all hockey up there. Like, they did some dirty shit, especially to Native Americans. Like, they did.
I mean, for fuck's sake, like, if I bring this example up a lot because it's remarkable to me, especially to see how history has devolved and how jingoistic people are. But the fact that, like, Germany as a nation took to heart how fucking atrocious, like, the Third Reich was, and took huge steps to acknowledging that. Now, it certainly helped that, you know, things like the Nuremberg trials and things of that nature led to worldwide accountability, like kind of important, you know, piece of that. But the fact that they did not shy away from their role in that, and that they still to this day wear that with a huge amount of shame, is remarkable to me, because that is something that Americans could never fucking do when it comes to slavery, or could never fucking do when it comes to our treatment of indigenous people, or could never fucking do when it comes to, you know, opposing civil rights and things of that nature. Like, not ever.
No, we are a country full of people in severe denial. Severe denial. But we've been, I mean, part of that comes from the fact that we've been told that we are, like, American exceptionalism, right? Like, we are different. Yeah. By nature of just existing. So we can't, a lot of Americans, cough white, cannot imagine a scenario where they are even tangentially tied to people who would do horrendous things. They can't understand it. Look, I'll give you a recommendation of things, something to watch. And I personally to you and to listeners and viewers, what is it called? I think it's called, Exterminate All Brutes, which is on HBO Max. It's just about how basically when folks came over from Europe to the United States, like how they treated Native Americans and Black folks, and just what they basically did to exterminate people who weren't like them. It is one of the most real fucking, like, it's like a documentary, but then it has like some, like narrative, like set pieces. Like they'll be like, this is what happened back then. Cause obviously they don't have footage. It is horrifying, but it's a documentary series. It's like 3 episodes. Exterminate All Brutes is the most realistic shit I have seen on not just American history, but sort of like European history as it's colonizing this part of the world.
Colonialism, basically.
Colonialism, so. Right. Yeah. Like, you should watch it. Like, as a Black person, you should watch it. As a Native American person, you should definitely fucking watch it. And as a white person, you should watch it, right? Because you really don't get to escape the realities of this shit. Like, this shit happened. It's not like, oh, it was a lovely time. No, they're just like, oh, you don't want to do what we say? Bam, shoot you in the fucking head. Like, these are documented shit that Europeans documented, right? Like, this is information that they documented and wrote down and fucking sent to other people, and, like, they wrote it down. And that's how we know about this shit, right? They weren't ashamed of it, right? This is what they did. So, yeah, you should watch Exterminate All Brutes. Like, it's a powerful, like, 3-part series. Like, it really is. And it's not actually done by a guy I deeply respect as a documentarian. But it's very good, but it just gives this idea, like you're talking about, like, we don't want to acknowledge these things, like, but you have to. Eventually you fucking have to. But we often don't want to. So yeah, this both sidesing shit, it's nonsense. It's nonsense in modern politics, and it's nonsense here.
And it's why we can't seemingly fully ever move past any of this stuff. Like, we still treat indigenous people like shit to this day. Like, we still treat Black people like shit to this day. It's because we can't reckon with the country's history in doing these things. Like we institute half measures, right? And we think that somehow that's enough and that somehow fixes everything. You know, again, like the famous, like, you know, we elect, how can there be racism? We elected a Black president. Well,
yeah,
one step.
Turns out you didn't exactly fix it. But, you know, turns out. Next up, you want to take this one? Joe Manchin shockingly cannot find 10 senators.
So the Senate was voted today on the Freedom to Vote Act, which was a kind of restructuring of the For the People Act. But notably, it had the full backing of all 50 Democratic senators, including Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. And Joe Manchin was down with this law, essentially, or with this bill that they wanted to pass through.
Right.
And Joe Manchin has been telling us forever that all we need to do is come up with reasonable legislation that I guess he is the determiner of, being, you know, the 50th vote in the Senate. And he would get 10 Republicans to vote on it along with us, because there's at least 10 reasonable people that are sitting over on that side of the aisle still. We all know that Joe Manchin's an idiot, and
we do. Yes.
Yeah, we do. And we knew that he wouldn't. But Joe Manchin kept banging the drum of, we can work together and do this thing. Well, Chuck Schumer brought the Freedom to Vote Act to the floor. And wouldn't you know it, all 50 Republicans voted against it, filibustering it and killing it before it even got a chance to.
Turns out.
Shocking news, I know. I was just as surprised as you are. It failed 49-51. The only reason that there was 51 is because Chuck Schumer changed his vote after it was clear that it was going to be filibustered so that it could be brought up later. So he was technically a no vote, but it's for procedural reasons, not because of
actual
one vote for the fucking bill. Yeah.
Chuck Schumer didn't even vote for it. That'll be
so here is the
scree on Twitter.
I'm waiting for the fucking far left to do that shit. Frankly, I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet. So here's what I've determined now. I've determined that Joe Manchin doesn't actually want to make it easier for people to vote in this country. Like that's the only reasonable conclusion that can be drawn, because Joe Manchin, if he really truly cared, like if he truly thought that making it easier for people to vote was more important than holding strong to some archaic Senate procedural rule, if he truly believed that, then he would vote to at least have a carve out of the filibuster for voting rights, because this proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was wrong and that there aren't 10 Republicans that are willing to work with Democrats in order to pass voting rights legislation.
Has anyone asked
him? So now, say again.
Has anyone asked him?
Thugs and News doesn't have credentials yet. So no, nobody has asked them.
No one has the balls. We'll have to ride up on that fucking tugboat on our Sea-Doos and ask him directly.
Yeah. So now that it has been proven that he was wrong and there is not 60 votes because the Republicans refuse to work with the Democrats. Like, again, it's not because Democrats aren't working to make the bill more moderate. It's because Republicans just refuse to work with them. Clearly that is the fucking reason here. So now we have the minority party representing a vast minority of voters in the country, able to essentially veto anything the Democrats want to do. So again, you have two options. You can either do something about the filibuster, or you don't actually want to do the things that you allege that you want to do, that you ran on, that people voted for, you know, for you to do. That's the only conclusion that is reasonable to draw at this point. And I wish a reporter would have the guts to say that to Joe Manchin. Be like, how can you say that you are for, you know, making it easier to vote when you won't do the things that would make it easier for people to vote in this
country? Just do a carve out, dude. Like, we're not saying get rid of the filibuster, you fucking coward piece of shit. Though you should do that.
I mean, we are, but we know you won't. So
yeah, we know you won't. Right. But you won't do this. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not even going to remotely pretend to be shocked. We knew it was bullshit when he said it. Right. We knew it was bullshit when he said it, right? Look, spoiler alert. He knew it was bullshit when he said it, right? Like, he was just trying to buy himself time. Like, they're going to fucking like da-da-da.
So then why does he keep saying it? That's my question. Like if he knows it's bullshit, then why the fuck does he keep saying it? Like, does he, and a point was made, I can't remember by who, but on a podcast I was listening to, whereby him coming out and saying that he's not going to vote to do anything to the filibuster, he's actually making it harder to negotiate with Republicans, to do what he wants to do. Because if you take away the threat that, hey, if you don't work with us, we're going to make your lives fucking miserable. Like, when you take that off the table, what incentive do Republicans have to come to you? Like if you're Joe Manchin, you're out there being like, look, I really don't want to do a carve out. I really don't want to, you know, I think it's important that we keep to a 60 vote threshold for, you know, advancing to debate. I firmly believe that. But look, Republicans don't want to negotiate with us. And I think this issue is too important to, you know, to just leave it to procedure. So if Republicans refuse to negotiate with us in good faith, then I'm going to have no choice but to consider doing this. That's how you get Republicans to negotiate.
Right.
By leaving it out there as a threat. When you close the door, Republicans are like, well, you're not going to do the thing that we're afraid of you doing. So why the fuck would we even talk to you about this?
Right. Yeah, I'm trying to save my comments for the next story. Because it's...
Yeah, well, I mean, We can get right into it. So, last year,
these two birds are right here for you, Brad. Go fuck yourself.
When the Democrats won the two Senate seats in Georgia, I guess that was this year. When the Democrats won the two Senate seats in Georgia, we were potting, we were celebrating. TR was on with you and I. We were celebrating and, you know, having a good time.
We were drinking a lot.
We were drinking a lot. And I posited the theory, you know, because we were like, oh, what can Democrats accomplish with 50 votes? Well, not much with the filibuster. And I was like, you know what I could see happening? Like, I could see, like, Mitch McConnell, like, making Joe Manchin a crazy offer, because Joe Manchin's half a Republican anyway. So I could see Joe Manchin, like, switching to the Republican Party at some point during the next how many years, you know, to give Republicans back a majority or something like that. And you guys got really upset with me. Like you were upset that I even put the idea out in the ether.
Yes. No, I knew that it was definitely a possibility, but I hated that you said it out loud. I hate you for it.
You did. You did. So all I have to say in reaction to this is, dude, I told you.
Yeah. Look, it doesn't feel good today to be on the other side of this. Got to tell you, this is what it's like for all you other people. I'm right all the time. Oh, my God.
There's a report that came out today in Mother Jones that said that Joe Manchin is planning on leaving the Democratic Party, and he has a two-step plan to bail out, because apparently the Democratic Party, he feels, does not represent his values anymore. Now,
They never fucking did. They never fucking That's did. That's true. They never did. Not That's in his true. Lifetime. They never did. Fuck this
I
guy.
Will say, to his credit, I guess, when asked about this report on today, and I'm going to do the best I can, because I'm reading this as the article says he was like, how flustered he was getting. He says, quote, "I can't control rumors and it's bullshit. Bullshit spelled with B-U-L-L, capital B. Bullshit."
Capital B. Goddamn right.
My thing is,
that's a hard response. Boy, you better not be lying, dude. Because if you are lying, you in a world of trouble. Like, they're gonna light your ass up in the press for that. Look, they're gonna light your ass
now,
up. He don't give a fuck.
Now here's what's funny. So if he left the Democratic Party, if this did happen, if this isn't just a fucking horseshit rumor that somebody heard, he wouldn't become a Republican. Like, I think he would become an independent. Now,
that's how he spends it, by the way. I never said bullshit. I'm an independent. Like, okay.
Yeah.
All right, Joe.
Now what's interesting to me is that if he became an independent, I think that neoprogs would actually be like super excited about that, because they'd be like, oh my God, Joe Manchin just became as liberal as Bernie, because Bernie's an independent. So clearly when you're an independent,
you fucking Bernie Sanders. Yeah, that's exactly right. He's going to be the new Bernie Sanders. Right. Him and Bernie, just like this. Meanwhile, Bernie's been lighting his ass up all week. Like, fuck this guy. I hate him. Like, no, yo, he's not going to be
controversial.
Same kind of independent at all.
Controversial opinion. If Joe Manchin left the Democratic Party, I wouldn't really give a shit because Joe Manchin doesn't act like he acts like 25% of a Democrat anyway. So it's what are you actually losing?
Right. Now, here's the thing. You're not losing much. I think I would just be irritated, like really fucking irritated. That being said, what is it? That throws the Senate, what is it? Republicans are 48?
No, Republicans have 50. Democrats have
and Democrats 50 plus
47 and then three independents that would caucus with them ostensibly. Right.
So, this is a problem. This is a problem for one major issue. Judges. This is a big deal for judges.
Yeah.
This is my fear.
Well, the good news about Joe Manchin is that he doesn't care about judges in terms of like who he let. He'll let anyone on. Like he'll let rapists.
Yeah, Brett Kavanaugh. Who gives a fuck, right?
Yeah, like he's got no problem with that. Like he's happy to vote for any judge, literally.
Right. So for now, right? It depends on what kind of sweetheart deal he gets from the Republican Party, right? If they're like, look, we'll put you on these committees, we'll do like da da da, like. But I'm gonna need Democrats to play hardball. If this guy leaves your party, you don't go easy on them, like, hey, we used to be friends. Remember, we used to date. It was great. Nah, fuck this guy. Full on fuck this guy status. Like, everything. Anything he tries, block that shit. It's just fucking drive it into the ground. Fuck him forever. Fuck him forever. Look, the reality here is there are two major issues. One, you got this guy. As an independent or a Republican, at this point, it really doesn't fucking matter. He operates as an anti-Democrat anyway, right? So whether he is an independent who is anti-Democratic, anti-Democratic Party, small d, or if he's a full-on Republican, which is very anti-Democratic Party, small d again, it doesn't really matter. That doesn't change anything, which is to your point of him leaving the party doesn't really change anything. The other thing here, okay, that was weird. The other thing here is somebody dropped something, I guess, upstairs. The other thing here that is really fucking important is I don't know what sort of hyper left wing people are going to do with themselves now that they have an opportunity to run a real hardcore liberal in West Virginia against Joe Manchin in 2025. Spoiler alert, it's not going to fucking work. It's likely not to work.
Unless
he pisses enough people off in West Virginia who are Democrats, then you might be able to get someone in. But I don't know how
here's what would happen if you ran a AOC of West Virginia, let's say, in against Joe Manchin. Let's just assume that Joe Manchin running as an independent. For re-election. So you have a Republican running, you have Joe Manchin, the independent, and then you have whatever progressive Democrat manages to win the primary. That progressive Democrat will win 10% of the vote, knocking Joe Manchin's vote share down to like 45, and then the Republican will fucking, you know, we'll get there. It will edge him out, basically.
Yep,
that's all that would happen. That's all that happened. Because as we've said time and time again, in terms of a Democrat from that state, Joe Manchin is the best that you're going to get.
Right.
The thing the solution that you need is not to do. Yeah. The thing is not get a more progressive version. It's elect more Democratic senators that Joe Manchin isn't the 50th vote.
That is correct.
Make him the 55th vote so that his vote doesn't matter.
Right. And those five that you get over 50 are actual progressives. That's the point.
Yes.
Yeah, you cannot, like, this idea of, like, we're going to win it by getting Joe Manchin on board. Look, you need to get at least two additional Democrats on top of what you have now, because you have two morons, right? You need at least two.
You need five, because you can't fucking live, you know, the political equivalent of paycheck to paycheck on all these fucking votes. You need to be able to lose a couple people and still be able to do what you got to do.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Like you need to eliminate Sinema and you need to eliminate Manchin as being possibilities of any value, right? One, like, we don't have this on the docket this week, but Kristen Sinema is like, she's over doing fundraising in Europe this past week. Who the fuck is in Europe that you need to talk to? Get the fuck out. You're from Arizona. Take your happy ass back over there.
Probably some lobbying company that she's taking money from.
A bunch of pharmaceutical companies are located where she was specifically. So, I'm not interested in trying. I mean, Kristen Sinema, I think you can legitimately defeat, right? I actually think that when she's up for re-election, that's actually a pretty easy race, right? I think you can beat her. In Arizona, is very purplish right now. You can find a progressive to be like, get the fuck out of here. Like, she's trying to make as much money before her ass gets booted. Like, I don't think she's under any thought process that she's going to keep that seat. Like, I really don't think so. I think that's why she's just acting the way she is. She's like, I'm trying to get paid. Like, I'm trying to get super fucking paid so that I can go sit my ass on some board and get paid for the rest of my life doing nothing, right? You know. I slightly respect it.
You mean to tell me that a former Green Party person wants to profit and get success from not actually doing any work?
Green.
That doesn't sound like the Green Party that I know.
Look, green's the color of money, Brad. I don't know what to tell you. Let's get paid, man.
The Green Party, one of the hardest working political parties in the country when it comes to like down ballot races and things of that nature, always run great candidates and to build up their political capital with voters around the country.
Fucking nutters. I love the Green Party, man. I understand you're trying to do good work. You're not accomplishing shit. You're not. And I know, I'm going to forward this to somebody in a Green Party, and they'll tell you what's what. What have you accomplished on a national level? Nothing.
You really won't.
You won't. The system is not, and that's not your fault, right? The system is set up against you, but you keep playing into the hands of the fucking Republican Party. It's stupid.
Here's what they've accomplished nationally. Well, we managed to always find our way into center left coalitions. I'm like, good for you. Fantastic. You did it.
Why don't we just vote for the people on the center left already?
Our six members of parliament managed to hook up and hang out with these guys all the time.
Congratulations. it's done nothing for us. And that's the fucking problem. You have not pushed the Overton window. You haven't done any of that shit. You haven't. It's not until mainstream politicians actually buy into that shit that it gets moved. It's not you. I hate to say that, because they should be a powerful grassroots political party. They're not. And part of it is because they don't build a base. You got to build a base. Yeah. There's no Green Party dog catchers and Green Party local representatives across every state. There isn't. It's a disparate group of individuals who decide every four to eight years to run for fucking president randomly. That's it.
But look, if I was running in a purplish state for a Senate seat in 2022 that is currently held by a Republican, one of my fucking messages would be fucking vote for me. And if I get in there along with a couple of my friends, you will never have to hear Joe Manchin's fucking name again. Ever.
I'm going in there to fuck people up. That's it. Just go in there, tear shit up, man.
I'm going to make Joe Manchin insignificant.
That's my job. Yo, that's a dope ass fucking slogan. I'm here to make Joe Manchin insignificant. Like, just a fucking t-shirt. Brad 2020. I mean, you should probably tell people your last name, but Brad 2020.
I'll get a blue hat that'll just say like MJMI or something, like that.
Look, I'd wear it. Midgeby. I'd wear it today. I'd wear it today, right now.
I'm a Midgeby Democrat.
That's right.
Make Fuck Joe Manchin insignificant.
Make Joe Manchin insignificant. That's a pretty good show title.
It's not bad.
So this dude, he's going to leave the Democratic Party. You think he'll actually do it? Or you think he's bluffing?
No, I think the news coming out there, if it was true, puts a damper on that, because now he's gonna, like, especially since he denied it so vociferously. He's gonna look like a fucking idiot if he eventually then turns around and does it.
Yeah, whoever leaked that shit is not his friend. He was like, God,
and plus, really. Like we said, and I think a couple other folks in the group have made the same point. Like, what does he gain? Like Joe Manchin has never, like, I think it was Jeff in the fan group, lookforwardshow.com/fans, who said that Joe Manchin has literally never had more power and never been more important as a politician, even when he was the governor. Like, even when he was the governor of West Virginia, like, that still doesn't compare to the fact that he is essentially. He gets to write the laws right now for the Democratic Party, because anything that's going to pass needs to be signed off on by him at this point. So he can get literally whatever he wants right now. So there would be really no benefit in him leaving the party.
None. Zero. So, yeah, look, again, I can't help but say, like, fuck that guy, right? Like, that is just, that is what it is. I'm not a fan. And I'm looking forward, I'm really, really looking forward to the day where he does not matter. But hasn't happened yet. Soon. Next up.
We'll see. I mean, because it's, again, it's not an easy Senate map. I mean, not that there is an easy Senate map anymore when it comes to elections for Democrats. But it's just going to be very difficult to overcome the inherent bias against Democrats that currently exists because of how the Senate is voted. That's the most frustrating thing about it. I still, to this, like, it boggles the mind that Democrats had 60 seats in the Senate only 12 years ago. Like, how?
Right.
So,
and you know, it was a super majority and Democrats didn't do anything. Yo, they had it for like 3 weeks. It was such a short amount of time. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Next up, I'm not sure I could be more annoyed by this. And look, I'm going to be mean. I'm going to be real fucking mean. Fuck this guy.
I mean, we're behind the paywall at this point.
Oh, I know. I'm waiting all week for this one. QAnon promoter Ron Watkins is running for Congress in Arizona. Not local, like, not legislature. This guy is running for a House seat in the United States fucking Congress. Look, I got a million and a half issues with this. One of which is the headline. QAnon promoter? No. That dude is Q, okay? Watch, what is it? What the fuck was that documentary on HBO? Into the Storm. It's all about him and his dad, Ron and Jim Watkins. And he largely admits it at the end, right? Yeah. He slips up and fucks up and admits that, like, yeah, I kind of am Q. So, like, don't say anything. No, fuck this guy. This guy should be fucking arrested. Okay, this guy is a goddamn, this guy is such a fucking bane on the American political existence. It's nuts, right? Russia was one thing, and those guys should absolutely pay for what they did, and they probably never will. But QAnon not only is a bullshit made up theory, it is disastrous as far as misinformation. It has gotten people killed. It has ruined people's lives. It has destroyed the very fabric of logic and reason in this country because so many dumb fuck Republicans believe this shit. It has swept in a bunch of other conspiracy theorists who believe in, like, anti-vax shit and, like, crystals can cure your fucking diseases bullshit, and all these other fucking hippie moms and all this other shit. All of that shit has been wrapped up in all these people who believe in this massive pedophilia crazy scheme. all of that is devised by this Q bullshit. And all of it culminates at the same point. This is the guy who pushed it. This is the guy who wrote all of this bullshit that people believe. He should be put in fucking jail. And if you let this guy get anywhere close to the fucking reins of power in Congress, you are out of your fucking minds. This is a disastrous fucking moment in American politics. It is a disastrous moment. This guy should absolutely be fucking arrested. If for nothing else, the amount of seeded bullshit here that he has done to the American, like, fucking psyche, if nothing else, this guy should be fucking prison for the rest of his life. That being said, I hope that when he fucking runs, this guy's run is so fucking disastrous and it comes out that this guy actually is Q, that it just blows a fucking massive hole in this shit for once and for good. But I know it won't, because it's a fucking Hydra. And at this point, it can't be fucking slowed down. And that's the problem. Mm-hmm. So fuck this guy. He should go to fucking jail. And his dad for just being a general fucking creep. That's all.
So not to worry anyone, but I have to bring facts. So the seat currently
to a Ron Watkins story. Why? Why?
Yeah. Well, I mean, fair, but we need to be realistic about this. So, Tom O'Halloran has the seat. He's a three-time incumbent at this point. However, the district, Arizona's first district, is a Republican plus two district. So Halloran's held on to the seat in reasonably close elections, or at least last, 2020 was reasonably close for him. But here's another problem, is that, so currently redistricting is going on. Arizona uses an independent redistricting committee, which, is ideal, I suppose. But the commission released a draft last week that actually shrunk the size of the district and made it even more Republican than it currently is right now. So if that's the draft that they end up using, then it will be an even more right-leaning district. And that should be very worrisome.
Yeah. My fear here is that there are enough QAnon nutters to put this guy in power because they know him, right? Like, mm-hmm. He's not an unknown entity. And he was, quote unquote, a QAnon promoter for a long time. And I think they're going to rise to the fucking occasion of being able to put their guy in power.
Yep.
Look, and just as a personal aside, this guy is fucking insane. Okay, he's fucking insane, right? This guy thinks that it's interesting to play and toy with people's lives, and he enjoys the ideas of being able to, like, see this bullshit and see where it goes. He's not a well person. He's not. Like, and this is not a statement on other people who suffer from the following, but he is not a neurotypical guy either. Like, this guy, I don't think truly understands what he's doing, right? These are the guys who ran 8kun and all this other shit and 8chan who helped promote live fucking shootings of citizens, right? Like literally live mass shootings were put and broadcast live on 8chan. Him and his dad thought that shit was interesting and funny. They're not fucking normal. Right, they don't function on a normal human, like, intellectual level. They don't. They don't. This is not a guy you want near fucking Congress who is making, like, voting on fucking laws. He's not, right? And again, I'm not lumping that guy in with other people who are not neurotypical, because there are plenty of people who are not neurotypical who don't do shit like this. But this guy, this specific guy, this guy is not a fucking joke. This guy needs to be in psychiatric fucking help or in prison or whatever, not near fucking Congress. Please take this shit fucking seriously, because one of these guys getting in equals more of these guys getting in. And this is the worst type of guy to get in. You think his dad won't fucking run if he wins? Of course. Of course he will. You think another one of these fucking lunatics won't run? Of course they will. Well, shit, Ron got in. Maybe I can get in. You think Congress is bad now? Look, you got fucking Herschel Walker running for fucking Senate. He's literally fucking insane. He hears voices. He hears voices. He physically threatens people. He's fucking nuts. And Fox News is like, I don't know. Why don't we have his son on? That'll be interesting, right? He's a normal fucking politician. He's fucking crazy. He got his head smashed in the fucking NFL, and he hears fucking voices. This is the guy you want to put up? Because he says some stupid shit that you agree with? Get the fuck out of here. Get the entire fuck out of here.
The Republicans realized that they need to run a black guy to win in Georgia, so they found one.
Doesn't matter if he's fucking insane. Like, yeah. I don't care that you run a black dude. That's fine. Good for you. Great. What are his policies? That's what I care about. That dude's fucking nuts. Like, he's fucking nuts. Yo, can you imagine a Democrat going on? Oh, yeah, I hear voices. Okay, come on in. No, Democrats be like,
that's literally done. I'm telling you that's literally their mindset. Like, they saw Raphael Warnock won.
That's it.
They saw the turnout. They saw the turnout in like Atlanta and other you know black areas of the state, and they're like, oh, we need a black guy. We know Herschel Walker. He's popular in Georgia. Let's just run him out there. It really doesn't go further than that. Like that.
When you don't have any deep as the logic, you don't have any fucking policies, and you think black people only vote for black people. That's it. That's what you think. Of course.
Yeah.
What happened after they got Barack Obama in for 8 years? What did the GOP do immediately? Black guy. I don't know. Fucking brain surgeon guy. Whatever. He's black. That's enough. All right. They pushed him. Right. Why? Is he qualified to be president? No. Does he know anything? Fuck no. No. He's black. That's enough. It's enough. It doesn't matter. We got a black guy. You got a black guy. Ah, just run. That's it. That's what they do. Republican Party. Barack Obama runs for the Senate. Who they got? This young guy seems like pretty good. I don't know. Send Alan Keyes. He's black. Maybe it'll confuse black people. They won't know the difference. No, that's the white people. That's not black people. Like, we can tell black people apart. Isn't Alan Keyes to run against him? What happened to Alan Keyes? He got fucking destroyed. Alan Keyes is fucking crazy. They don't give a shit. Republicans don't give a shit about policy or any of that shit. They don't even give a shit about democracy. They let that shit go years ago. That's why Ron Watkins is like, I guess I'll run as a Republican. Sure, why not?
Yeah.
It's not like you got to know shit. It's not like you got to know American politics. It's not like you got to understand laws and how anything works. It's not like you got to work with anybody. He don't give a fuck. He'll go in there and fuck around. He'll go in there and just pollute the water. That's all he'll do. He'll just say some wild, crazy shit, and Republicans again, will repeat it.
That's all he can do, because, like I said, all he's going to be is, you know, one vote in the House. You know, it doesn't really, like, he's not going to have a whole lot of voting power. Like, he's not going to be integral in getting any legislation passed. But like you said, he's just going to be there to be loud and to be a voice and to say dumb shit. Like, look how much fucking coverage the cavewoman Taylor Greene gets.
Yeah.
And she's useless. She's fucking useless.
She has no, she's not even on like any committees.
Because they kicked her off the committees. Because she's a fucking
nutter. They should have.
But I mean, she, as a legislator, she's literally fucking useless. As a legislator, Lauren Boebert is fucking useless. Tad Cadworth is fucking useless. Like they all serve no fucking purpose. But yet they get TV time, they get coverage, they get, you know, they get to come on to Tucker Carlson and Hannity, and they get media hits because they're loud and stupid, and because they have like personas, and they are popular in certain circles of the GOP, and that's all Ron Watkins would be. And unfortunately, the thing that would be the bigger tragedy is it would be given even more credibility to that Q movement, because there's enough people that would be like, oh, this guy got elected. Like, maybe he's not, you know, maybe this isn't completely insane. Yeah. Like, enough of my fellow, you know, Republicans believe this. Maybe I should look into it a little bit. That kind of thing.
That guy's not well, man. He's not well.
No, this is bad news all around. And again, this isn't like fucking Ken Klasick, like running in Elijah Cummings, you know, D+50 seat. Like that's not what this is. Like Ron Watkins will.
Hashi thought she was going to win.
Assuming he makes it out of. Yeah, assuming he makes it out of the primary for the seat, has a legitimate chance to win. So quite frankly, let's hope that they can nominate a decent Republican to run against him in a primary so that he doesn't even make it to the general election. Like that would be the most ideal scenario.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know. I got to tell you, I'm not quote unquote scared, but I'm not enthusiastically like this is not a big deal.
I mean, again, I see Marjorie Taylor Greene. I see Lauren Boebert. I see Tad Cadworth. Like I see these are people that have all gotten elected to their seats. And by the way, for possible new listeners that might have joined recently, Tad Cadworth is what we call Madison Cawthorn. I don't think we've ever called him Madison Cawthorn on the show. Like he's Tad Cadworth.
That guy's clearing the forest single-handedly, like punching a tree. God, he's such a fucking asshole, dude. He said this week, he was like, I'm going to seize all of the assets, all the Chinese assets in the country, to stop what's going on. I'm like, one, what the fuck are you talking about? Two, dude, most of your constituency loves Walmart. Relax.
It's a shame no one actually wants to interview him because if Thugs and News is there, like, question for Tad Cadworth. You said you wanted to seize all the Chinese assets in the country. Can you explain how you would do that as one congressman? Can you please explain to me how that would happen?
No, that's what the left always does. They want details, Brad. Fuck out of here. That guy sucks.
That reeks of like fucking step one, sees Chinese assets. Step two, step three, profit. Yeah,
profit. That's right, man. That's right. You goddamn right. Tad Cadworth is the underpants gnome of the house. he's an underpants gnome. That's all he is. First, we get the underpants. Then, number three, we profit. Yeah, like, all right, that's cool. That's what we're doing. Seizing Chinese assets. Dude, shut up. He's such an idiot. And like, the crowd is like, this guy's making a lot of sense. Is he? Like, he's not. That guy is just, he's just saying whatever to get you to buy into his horse shit. Fuck that guy. Fuck him. I got into the Special Olympics. No, you, or the Paralympics. No, you didn't. You lied, dude. You lied. Like, you think they weren't going to Google it? Like, yeah, dude, come on. Fuck that guy. That guy's an asshole. Not a fan. Just not a fan of Tad Cadworth. That guy's also a Nazi, by the way. Like, as just a side note, he's a fucking
A literal Nazi.
He's a literal Nazi.
So I'm sure he's very excited for Ron Watkins to get in there.
Oh, fuck it. Yes. Me and my other fucking dumb friends. I can't wait to drink and clear brush. Hand-by-hand combat against an innocent tree. I'm not a fan. I think that's pretty much it this week. Do we have any other stories, any late-breaking stories, Brad?
Not that I'm aware of, which thank God.
Let me make sure.
It might have been low on quantity this week, but it was incredibly high on depression. So
that's true. here's an interesting one. The Ted Lasso of the Senate, Tommy Tuberville. I hate that guy. He's fucking dumb. He's the dumbest person in the Senate. That's actually a fact. Apparently Trump told Tommy Tuberville to quote, protect yourself right before the riot on January 6th. Oh, that's not good. That's not good.
Oh, did Tommy Tuberville testify to this in front of the committee?
I don't know, but somehow that leaked.
Not that it's newsworthy, cause this is just fucking junk food, but it's still fun junk food. So like a lot of the, congressmen that were, around the events of January 6th testified before the select committee today. I don't know if you got to see Matt Gaetz and Jim Jordan getting dunked on with impunity.
I did not.
by Democrats on the committee. It was fantastic. Jamie Raskin just like basically pulled Matt Gaetz's pants down in front of him. And then like when Jim Jordan was doing his like shitty Jim Jordan stuff, just being a fucking asshole, because that's all Jim Jordan is really good at doing. I can't remember who it was. I think it was Representative Torres who basically said, like, guys, like talking to them, like, look, this isn't a situation where, you know, where, you know, you're ignoring sexual assault against college students, or a situation where you're paying young girls to have sex. Like this is serious stuff. Like this is like our fucking democracy on the line. I'm just like, God damn. Like, and they just fucking sat there and took that shit. So
yeah, no, you got to take that. Like, oh, that's fucking brutal. That is absolutely brutal. Kissinger says Trump is not off limit for the January 6th committee subpoenas due to that shit. They are voting. We're recording on Wednesday night. They are voting in the full House on Thursday whether or not to put the kibosh on your boy Steve Bannon. Whether they're going to actually have him arrested or not.
Yeah, apparently McCarthy's trying to whip the Republicans at least to vote against this, which seems like, I get why they're doing it, but like it still seems kind of dumb to like neuter yourself if you ever, you know, win the House again one day and want to call people before committees to testify.
Yeah, they just stuff. Like go fuck yourself. Like, no.
Yeah. Like you guys just voted, you know, said that we shouldn't do stuff like this.
But they was, oh, that was a witch hunt, da da da, and then people just be like, yeah, they're right, and then fucking yell at Democrats to comply because Democrats believe in the law. But yeah, fools. Yeah, that. Come on, man. Like, you got to throw that. You got to throw that guy under the bus. Like, you got to throw that guy under the bus. Leaked Oath Keepers data shows at least 28 elected officials have ties to the group. That was a pretty big deal today.
I mean, that shouldn't be super surprising.
It's not surprising, but yeah. You did get names, which is kind of interesting. Yeah, like Fiona Hill's back in the news. Trump's reelection would spur one constitutional crisis after another. She says, "Yeah, no shit. I liked her. I thought when she testified the first time, she was dope as fuck. But yeah, that's a big no shit."
I mean, we're still kind of stuck in the second one that he created. So,
I don't even know if it's the second one. It's like the 12th one. But we're still stuck in a massive constitutional crisis because of Trump. Not for any other reason but that. But yeah, and Liz Cheney, and I'll end on this one. Liz Cheney basically said that with Steve Bannon basically refusing to testify or refusing to abide by the subpoena shows that Trump likely had very personal connections to the January 6th riot. No shit. Like, yeah. Why is Steve Bannon running? And you know
that she hit the nail on the head because Donald Trump then felt compelled within like an hour to release another blog post, essentially talking.
Fuck Liz Cheney. So she was right then. Yeah. Got it. Right.
Yeah.
Like if you're doing a bunch of swings and misses, He don't even like, you're a gnat on a, you know, like on a fly's ass, basically. Like, he doesn't give a shit about you. But if you hit the right point, oh, he mad. He's super mad. Like, he's like, no, fuck that lady. I got to come out hard to discredit her and make sure that, you know, people know she's bullshit so that they stop talking about me. Like, that's all it is. So he's super easy to figure out. If he responds to you, if you're a major person, you say some shit and he responds to you, you hit a nerve. That's how you know. It's like
I said, that is the one thing about him. You know, he does not have a poker face to save his fucking life.
Oh no. Like Liz Cheney got a direct hit on his battleship. Okay. Like he's like, oh no. Like that's 100% accurate. So look, that's wow. Democratic Representative JB Raskin mocks GOP Matt Gaetz January 6th rant, quote, blah, blah, blah. Shut up. Fuck off. Good. I like Jamie Raskin. That dude's all right. All right. That's it for us. Any parting words here, Brad? Do you have any more horrible predictions? Is Joe Manchin going to become a libertarian next week?
No horrible predictions. I just want to say, and I think we've talked about it a little bit on the show, and we talked about it a little bit in the group. I am firmly in the pro gerrymander camp right now. Like, I think if you are in a state where you're a Democrat, you control the legislature. Just draw the most ridiculous maps that you possibly can. Like they're looking at making Maryland, 8-0. Like an 8-0 Democratic thing.
Yep.
Fully supported at this point. Like at this point, I think we've learned that the only way to kill gerrymandering is to start using it against Republicans. And so they can feel the pain from it. And get them to come along that way. Essentially, much like the Electoral College, like if we could just find a way to lock out, you know, Republicans from ever being able to win a presidential election again, it will go away in the blink of an eye.
Immediately. Essentially. Yeah. Yeah. You do. Like you almost have to. You have to cheat so badly that they can't ignore it. And then, or, you know,
yeah.
Cheating, like because it's in quotes. But it is cheating, right? Like gerrymandering is cheating.
It is morally the wrong thing to do, but at this point you're fighting an ass kicking contest with one leg tied behind your back. So you need to just fucking fight with the same tools that they're using. And they're going to be like, what the fuck? This is bullshit. And you're like, yeah, we know.
Yeah.
Like we've been trying to tell you this.
Right. Like we just want to fight. Just in a market, we just want to have a marketplace of ideas. That's it. Right? What is Occam's razor? But yeah, if you just like, and like you said earlier, go ahead.
I think that's Occam's razor. Gerrymander harder than your opponent. That's what Occam's razor is.
Yeah, that's absolutely it. That's Rubin's razor. Rubin's razor. If anything could get gerrymandered, it will. Like that's how it works. But like the idea of, I think Democrats could win on their ideas in a fair battlefield. I 100% agree with that. That's why I'm not afraid of getting rid of the Electoral College. I'm not afraid of getting rid of gerrymandering, because I think if you just let people vote, like legitimately let people vote based on policies, Democrats will kick the shit out of you every time, dude, every fucking time. And there would be a hell of a lot more states that were more purple than red, a lot.
Yeah.
Like if Democrats really
that is how you would pull the Republican Party out of the fucking death spiral that they're in right now, because you would have a party that would continue to get more and more extreme, more and more insane, and you'd have reasonable Republicans be like, I can't vote for this. And eventually that would lead off to a faction of the party that would be splitting off to be like, bro, we got to get back to fucking sanity here.
Yeah, how about we write laws, like real bills? Yeah. I mean, look, that's what you want, right? I don't need the Republican Party to become like liberal. Like, right? Like it'd be cool like if they were center left and then like then there was like people even further to the left. That would be great. But I don't actually require that, because everybody doesn't think the same in this country, and I'm okay with that, right? But
in fact, it's not a bad thing. Yeah. Right. In fact, it's not a bad thing to have a check on what
like,
you're doing.
Like changing things constantly, right? Like that's what conservatism is supposed to be, which is, hey, why don't we take our time before moving on this? Let's like stay rooted a little bit. Like, you know, you put down roots and like, okay, this is what we're going to do. And it's not that you don't change. It's that you don't change so fast, but life changes quickly. So you need people on the left, rightfully so, to be like, yo, life is moving quickly. We got to also try to keep up, right? It's okay to have a back and forth and be like, okay, let's slow down. Let's move forward. That's okay. But that's not what we have right now. We have people trying to progress and move forward. Oddly, it's like to progress to like 2000 standards, to progress and like save the planet and treat people, you know, reasonably. And the other side is like, they're raping kids on the moon, and you're like, that's not real, right? So they're not opposing agendas. One is insane and the other one is an actual agenda. So like you need to get back to just having, you can have opposing agendas and try to work and figure out what to do. They're like, the Democratic Party would absolutely benefit from a reasonable Republican Party. Right. Like in the reasonable Republican Party would absolutely benefit from a reasonable Democratic Party. But that's not what we have. We have, again, they're trying to fuck kids on Mars versus, hey, we should think about climate change. Those are, they're not even in the same fucking sport. Like, it's not the same league. They're not even in the same sport. So, like, you can't talk to the other person when they don't believe in reality. So that's the fucking problem. So if we could just use gerrymandering or whatever to pull these guys back into fucking reality, that would be great. It'd be 100% appreciated. So, all right, that's it for us. Try not to have sex with kids on the moon, I guess is really what I'm saying. And R. Kelly, I'm looking at you. And we will see you guys next week.
See ya.
Bye. Just saying, like, that guy does. He's a creep.